This is Colt Chinero Chat, the world's best English language Atletico Madrid podcast, and an official partner of IntoTheCalderon.com, SB Nation's Atletico Madrid site. I'm your host, Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Colt Chinero Chat, making his standard weekly appearance on the program, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colt Chinero Chat. Rob joins the show to recount and recap Atletico's 2-0 win over City rivals Getafe on Saturday afternoon. The away win and clean sheet, both of some importance to Atletico, as they relied on Tomas Lemar to help them get the 3 points at the Alfonso Pérez. We'll discuss Lemar's breakout game, which saw him score one goal, and quite possibly another, depending on how you view La Liga's own goal rules, how Atletico managed to keep just their second clean sheet of the season, a strong performance from the Jose Jimenez-Lucas Hernandez duo in central defense, and more. In addition, Diego Simeone will have a chance to rotate ahead of Tuesday's contest at home against newly promoted Huesca, which of course leads up to next Saturday's Madrid derby at the Santiago Bernabeu. We'll dive into all that, plus Chinese Super League and Jackson Martinez. You remember him. Jackson Martinez, who has reemerged on and off the pitch. Before we dive into all that on this episode of Colt Chinero Chat, make sure to subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of the show on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes Apple Podcasts. And make sure to leave a rating and a review while you're at it. We'd really appreciate it. It helps us to get more eyes and ears on the show. Finally, head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/ColtChinaroChat, where you will get access to all the bonus podcasts. At this point in time, mostly my solo analysis podcasts recorded after most Atletico matches. I'll be doing one on Tuesday after Huesca's visit. Patreon.com/ColtChinaroChat. From as little as $3 a month, you too can become a Colt Chinero Chat amigo. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this. What a
you know
segue.
By setting them up.
Wow.
You know me.
What a transition. Okay. Getafe 0, Atletico 2. Getafe 0, Atletico 2 at the Coliseum Alfonso Pérez on Saturday. General thoughts, Rob?
A lot better. Obviously, yep. We've had some pretty awful results, excluding the Champions League, of course. But, yeah, I felt really good about it. I thought we played better than we have in recent weeks. I certainly don't think the team is fully clicking yet, but more encouraging for sure.
I thought it was a very Atletico performance.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about how I would describe it. This was not pretty. Atletico's games against Getafe usually are not pretty, but Atletico always win them. Here's a stat, Rob. Simeone's Atletico have gone up against Getafe 14 times. 12 wins, 2 draws, 28 goals for, 0 conceded.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's somewhat of a function of Getafe kind of being like the poor man's Atletico for a while, given their style of play. They try to keep it tight like Atletico do. They just have much worse players. So I guess it kind of stands to reason
that
Diego Simeone would be better.
That's kind of what I was thinking when I was pondering, why do Atletico always beat Getafe? And I think a lot of it is, it's part of the reason why Simeone struggles against Marcelino.
Right.
It's partially the same reason, but not quite the same thing. Getafe do play a lot like the old school Atletico teams do, but they aren't as talented as Marcelino's teams. They aren't as talented or disciplined, especially disciplined, as we saw Ivy Alejo come on for 5 minutes against Santoff yesterday. That's a perfect example. Those 5 minutes pretty much sum up why Getafe can never score against Atletico, let alone beat them. The game plan is always pretty sound. These games are always difficult. Like, Atletico aren't going and beating Getafe 6-7-0 every time. These are usually pretty tough games, especially away. because Getafe do make you work. They do have a really solid game plan that they 100% believe in. Jose Bordalas is a really good coach. The difference between them and, say, Marcelino is that the players aren't as talented and the players aren't as disciplined. And that's not a slam against Getafe. That's just how the tiers in La Liga work.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think Atletico are more talented and a bit more cunning, a little bit more streetwise as to what they can get away with.
Yeah.
Rather than sort of making silly challenges that get them red cards in 4 minutes.
Right, yeah. So Ivy Alejo comes on in the 63rd minute, former Atletico youth product. 5 minutes later, off he goes. He stomps on Saul's leg. I was actually worried for a second, but Saul got up and...
He's a tough lad.
He got a yellow card himself about 10 minutes later.
Yeah, I mean, if an Atletico player did that, Mano Burgos would be giving him a swirly after the game.
Yes,
it would be bad.
Simeone was furious on the touchline. He was really upset, and there was no hesitation. I thought it was a clear red card. I thought there was intent.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it was just totally stupid. You've been on the pitch 4 minutes. Why go to a challenge like that?
No need to do that.
Yeah, totally needless.
Even at 1-0 up, Atletico weren't troubled at all. Getafe had about 50% of the ball in the first half, and they didn't trouble Oblak once. Oblak had to make, I think, one really good save, and that was after Atleti went up 2-0. The Angel chance just after the hour.
Yeah, it was very pleasing that Atletico managed to keep Getafe quiet for most of the match. That was extremely important, I think. And they really limited them to no good opportunities.
Expected goals, Atletico 1.48, Getafe 0.58. Atletico had the three best chances of the game by expected goals. They scored only one of them. The other two were well saved by David Soria. I think Getafe's best chance was worth 0.12 expected goals. So there you go. Atletico, so
not good.
No, this is what I mean when I say vintage Atletico. Atletico limited opportunities. A lot like they did against Eibar last week. They limited opportunities. They had several dangerous chances themselves. Lemar's second goal was their best chance of the game because it was from about 5 yards out.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful team move as well. I really enjoyed the football that led up to that goal.
But how about his first goal?
Well, that was just a thing of beauty. I mean, as I said in the player ratings, I'm giving that one to him. I know it was scored as an own goal, but I don't care.
I think La Liga changed the ruling this morning. I think they actually gave it to him.
Oh, did they? Excellent.
I think they did.
Well, either way, I was going to give it to him. So
yeah, Lemar scores a double, and Atletico win 2-0. The first goal, this was what a hit. Just wow. Griezmann and Costa exchanging passes, and then Lemar pulls up like he's in a truck from about 40 yards out, just blasts this ball as hard as he can off the bar. It goes in off Soria's backside, which, okay, I get why you could call it an own goal, but it was probably going in anyway.
Probably, yeah. It's a weird one. It's one of the things about Lemar that I didn't necessarily know that he really had was the ability to get that much power into his shots.
That was very surprising to me. I didn't think he kind of had that in him.
Yeah, I didn't. I certainly didn't either. We haven't seen it in any of his cameos so far this season. But yeah, he generated a ton of power. And I mean, he's not a big dude. So that's a good thing to have in your back pocket.
We knew how good he was technically. We knew his range of passing and his versatility. Didn't know he had this in his locker. This was a
great hit. If he wants to add a sledgehammer of a left foot into his arsenal, then that's good by me.
I mean, yeah, he's clearly been talking with Griezmann a little bit.
Yes, indeed.
Those kinds of shots. But no, it was a great goal. And there was a long period where Atletico didn't really do much, didn't really feel the need to because they weren't troubled. Jose Jimenez and Lucas Hernandez did everything they were supposed to do. They were fantastic. They pretty much shut down every half chance Getafe had. Felipe struggled a little bit with Francisco Portillo on his side, but really cleaned up well in the second half. I thought Felipe was much better in the second half. The key moment in this game, though, came before the second goal when Rodri came off and Tomas came on. Though I thought that was a really interesting sub. I think it allowed Atleti to get the ball out of the back faster. It allowed them to counterattack with more speed, a little more velocity, and 3 minutes later, after Tomas comes on, Atleti take a 2-0 lead. Walk us through this goal, Rob.
All right, so from the sort of amount I was allowed to look at it, or when I watched it back, I counted about 10 passes-ish that led to the goal. It was really nice, to be fair. I mean, Lucas and Koke started it off, and then it goes to Felipe and to Griezmann, and then to Sal, Juan Fran, to Lamar, back to Griezmann, to Koke, and then Lamar scores. So it was a full team move, and they really cut open Getafe, I think, and that was sort of the moment of quality.
Combination play was just really staggering. And the timing of Lemar's run, I think, made this happen. Because he just, passed it over to Griezmann. Lemar keeps running, and then Koke slides him through. Bruno actually intercepts Koke's pass, so Koke didn't get an assist for it. Bruno Gonzalez intercepted this. Lemar poked it off him and then just tapped in from about 5 yards. It was in Lemar's work rate on that goal, from the passing to the running to the finishing, was just really, really excellent.
Yeah, I didn't expect to see him pop up there when the ball went into the box. I mean, you would expect it'd be one of Griezmann or Costa, but it wasn't, and it was a really good finish from Lamar. So, and, you know, for Atletico this season, the strikers haven't been extremely prolific, but if they get goals from elsewhere, specifically from Lamar, then that's excellent.
Yeah, Atletico won this game without much at all from Costa or Griezmann.
That's right.
I didn't think either of them played particularly well. I mean, they had a role in the first goal, but so did David Soria. That said, I didn't think either of them played particularly well. Atletico are still having issues getting the ball to Costa. He just the amount of times he's been deprived of service so far this season's kind of appalling. And they got to figure that out. They got to get the ball to him.
Yeah, and I think that's why we've seen so much tinkering with the midfield to start the season. They've tried, clearly Simeone's trying to figure out how he can get the ball to Costa, but also keep the team solid at the back. So I think we're going to still see some tinkering from here on out.
Yeah, Atletico could have added a third. Costa and Griezmann both had really good chances in the last 10 minutes or so that Soria saved. But yeah, they have to find a way to get the ball to Costa. They just have to. He's too dangerous to just deprive him of service like that. 5 games in the league season, he hasn't scored yet. And he's already scored 3 goals in Europe. It's very strange.
It's totally
It's
bizarre.
Really weird.
I mean, if he wants to score a bazillion goals in Champions League, I'm not going to be mad. But I'd like to see him hit a couple more in the league.
Yeah, it's strange, but you know, so far we'll take it. He'll probably get another chance Tuesday against Huesca. As we'll discuss. What else did you see from this game at the Coliseum?
I mean, obviously, I was happy about the Jose Ma and Lucas back line. As you said earlier, they were excellent, I thought. They looked really solid together. I think that's about what we can expect from them at this point. I mean, they're both still young, so they'll have mistakes in them. But to look solid for an entire match against, you know, not the greatest side, but a sturdy side, it was pretty impressive. Obviously, Godin came on.
Yeah, I love that despite how well those two were playing, Godin still came on for the last 20 minutes because Cholo's like, I'm getting the clean sheet whether y'all like it or not.
Need some insurance. Bring on Godin. Yeah.
I'm getting this clean sheet.
How this works nowadays, yeah. But, you know, it was fine. I think that they more than showed that they're a good pairing. I think they complement each other quite well.
Yeah, they're both really young and athletic and just dynamite. They're just two really, really good defenders. Lucas, he put in a powerhouse shift, I thought. He completed 88% of his passes, 73 touches, 4 clearances, 3 blocks, 3 interceptions. Jimenez led all players with 10 clearances. I mean, just powerhouse duo. That's the future in defense right there, and that's why they're both locked up until 2024.
Yeah, it's... I think the reason maybe that Lucas gets put at left back so often is because he is so good technically for a center back. And I think we saw that in this game. His passing, as you said, was excellent. And, I mean, I think he still is a natural center back, but you can see why coaches would maybe think he could do a job on at left back. And he certainly does. He's not the best in the world, but he can certainly do a job there, as we've seen.
He made a few really dangerous forward runs in the last 15 minutes or so on Saturday. He made a few...
Which is a testament to his athleticism, having played the entire game as a central defender.
Yeah, and to his growth as a fullback.
Yeah.
He's just a really, really good player.
Yeah, he's good. He can play a lot of different positions, which really, is a valuable thing to have.
Really quite good. I thought Juan Fran's performance was interesting. 87% pass completion, 3 tackles, a couple clearances, only 1 foul. I think that's about as good a performance as we're going to see Juan Fran put in.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that's about what we can expect from him at this point, given his age. But like you say, he put in a good shift. And I think, you know, if you give Juan Fran a ton of games in a row at this point in his career, he's probably going to start to show some signs of wear and tear. Yeah. So they need to manage that a little bit carefully. Yeah,
like Felipe, I think he got better defensively as the game moved along. Antunes found a little space on his side in the first half. But Amath, former Atletico youth product.
Oh, yes.
Amath, yes. Didn't really get much going. Only 26 touches in 62 minutes before he came off. And yeah, I just thought the back four in general were all very good. Oblak made the one great save that he almost always makes, that he always has to come up with. And yeah, there you go. That's the game.
Yeah, it was a pretty good game. Some really nice goals. Could have been better, of course, but this team, I think, clearly is still trying to figure itself out.
And I think we're going to start doing Rodri pass completion updates.
Yeah, we might need to.
91%. In this game.
Amazing.
I think he was at 93 against Monaco.
I mean, he's just a pass machine.
Yes.
And like we talked about with Tomas earlier, the difference between those two is that Tomas can give you those driving runs forward that Rodri can do, but that's not his specialty. Rodri is just the pass master.
Yeah, it's not...
And he can keep hold of the ball so easily.
It's not a criticism of Rodri at all. Just Tomas is able to just distribute it a little bit faster. And it's really more conducive to counterattacking. With Rodri out there, Atletico can keep the ball all day long if they wanted to. They usually don't want to, but they can. The second half against Monaco, I think, was a really good indicator of that. The way Atleti kept the ball, I mentioned this on the bonus podcast on Patreon, the way Atletico controlled the second half against Monaco with and without the ball was super encouraging and impressive. And a lot of that was down to Rodri and his presence.
That's why you have absolutely. Him. And I think it's effective bringing on Thomas Partey late in matches because he has a lot of energy and he can make trouble for tired defenses late in games. So I don't really have a problem with that.
So Godin comes on. Kalinic does not. Jelson Martins does not.
Yeah.
Little concerned about Jelson. Hasn't played since the international break. Atletico have had three games since in that time. Jelson hasn't seen a minute.
I mean, you reckon he'll probably get somewhere close to 90 in the Copa, surely.
I mean, Huesca midweek, I think, would be a really good opportunity for him.
It has to be. It has to be. He has to get minutes. I think you have to give Kalinic minutes there, too. I mean, maybe you want to go for Garces, but I mean, maybe not. We'll see. but it's a little concerning, but I think it may just be one of these Diego Simeone things where it's like he trusts Tomas, he trusts Correa, and he trusts Godin, so they're coming on.
Yeah, Godin, that was just so funny to me that I thought he was going to get a full day off, and then he just just never.
Nope. It's like Nick Markakis. He wants to play every game.
Shout out Atlanta Braves, NL East champions.
Very, very, very niche reference there.
let's talk about Huesca for a minute. Let's give an injury update first. Getting back to full health, mostly. Santiago Arias and Vitolo are training normally. They have not been given the medical all clear yet, as the Spanish phrase is. They have not been given the clearance yet, but the hope is that they will both be available Tuesday, and if not Tuesday, Saturday in the Madrid derby.
Yep. I mean, I think it'd be a bit of a shame if Arias didn't get a bit of a chance against Huesca, because he sort of needs a bit more time with the first team, I reckon.
Yeah, it depends on how fit he is, but he needs to get time. Like I said, Juan Fran played really well against Getafe. I thought it was a good performance from him, but you're not going to see this every week. We know this. Just watching Juan Fran the last two or three seasons, we know this, that he's either going to get hurt or he's going to have a clunker. So it's really, really important that Arias gets back to health, and it's really important that he puts in a legitimate challenge to Juan Fran. Vitolo coming back, I think, is also crucial. Just another wide option, another alternative, another choice for Cholo when he wants to rotate. And yeah, just more competition for Leimado, which is always healthy, and probably not great news for Jelson, considering he's not playing too much right now, if at all.
Right. I mean, I think Vitolo's got a lot he should have a lot of motivation to come back and get back in the side, because he's had so many frustrating injuries at really bad times for him and the club. So hopefully we get to see him get some sort of minutes, but I remain a little pessimistic on that.
How liberally would you rotate against Huesca?
I think you have to a little bit. I mean, the squad hasn't seen a ton of rotation, but then again, I mean, you'd think this is a fairly easy game, but then those are the games that Atletico struggle mightily in.
Yeah, right. Right.
I don't think there's going to be a ton, honestly, but I'd like to see some, absolutely. I mean, I'd like to see Gelson get a little bit of a run out, and I think Correa might start, but I don't know how much Cholo's going to go for it.
I'd like to see, like, basically a full rotation, but we know Cholo won't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I would too, but...
And Sal and Koke are still going to start. They're going to play 90 minutes.
Yeah, it's... not great.
Like, honestly, I would start Antonio Adan in this game.
I mean, might as well. Or is Huesca going to be able to play Axel Werner or no?
That was... Yeah, I was actually going to ask that. I actually don't know if there's a fear clause in the terms of his loan deal. I don't remember seeing one when the deal was announced.
We will find out, I guess. I mean, if he's not playing, then we're going to be playing against their second-choice goalkeeper. So I think you could get away with a bunch of rotations. It's just if Simeone's going to do it or not.
Yeah, I know Atletico value Werner kind of highly, so I don't know if they would have included a fear clause or not, but we will find out in the next couple days, almost certainly.
I'm sure there'll be some random article about someone. I mean, it's very random when they announce that these clauses are in there, if they do it at all.
Oh, yeah. One of the reporters in Madrid will probably tweet something on it. But,
yeah,
Huesca, it's been an interesting start to life in La Liga for them, I would say. Not bad.
Well, yeah, they're all right.
They are down to 17th now. But, you know, they put their best foot forward against Barcelona. They got absolutely wrecked, but they put their best foot forward. Even though they've lost 8-2, you got to admire that. Their last couple of games have been very close. They lost to Real Sociedad on Friday, 1-0. 9-man Real Sociedad. Shout out Teo Hernandez.
Yeah, that was a great moment for him.
And then the previous week, they lost to Rayo on that just glorious Gianelli and Mbula goal.
Yeah, I've always liked me a little bit of Mbula. he was pretty decent at Stoke when he was first there. But we knew these three promoted teams were gonna struggle. So 17th right now is fine. I mean, as long as they're not dead last, then they're all right. So, but I think Atletico should be able to do fine. What I've learned from looking at Huesca's team is they have a lot of loan players. So that's... you know, can be a recipe for success, but it doesn't really inspire me a huge amount.
I mean, you look at Huesca's team, Werner has started every game so far this season. He's let in 13 goals, most of anybody in La Liga. Yeah, my concerns about Huesca coming into the season with this is this was kind of an older team. I'm not sure that they had enough talent to stay up in Primera. Like I said, you got to give them credit for going out there, especially against Barca, and putting their best foot forward and saying, this is how we're going to play. We have a plan. We're going to come at you. Even though they lost 8-2, that's a good mentality to have. You're probably not going to win by parking the bus. Why not go out there and try to put on a show? Their issue is that they've lost back-to-back home games. They took 0 points from 6 against Rayo and La Real at home. Those are the games they need to win. I'm not so sure that this team is going to stay up. I'm not sure they have enough Primera talent. Cucho Hernandez is the guy that we need to look out for, though. 19 years old. He's an electric talent. Really, really good player. The bigger clubs in La Liga are going to have their eye on him throughout the season. But this is a bit of an older team, kind of rickety in defense. That said, Atletico are going to win 1-0 probably.
Yeah, exactly. Huff and puff for 85 minutes until they score from a corner or something. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we needed these three promoted sides who are great. I think having, you know, 5 games into the season, I think probably Valladolid are the best. But it's, you know, there's not a lot between them.
Yeah, even Valladolid, they're in the drop zone. Rayo are in the drop zone. Vidalee,
they're all three down there.
Even when Real Vidalee do score goals, they can't win.
Yeah, exactly. Which would have been concerning. I mean, for Celtas, that's pretty respectable.
Yeah, they went to Vidos and drew.
Yeah, exactly. Atletico couldn't even score there. They have three goals there.
Yeah, Atletico couldn't score there, and Vidalee go there and they score three, and they still don't win.
I mean, they'll have better chances than that this season. I mean, Celta are pretty good. But, yeah, if any of these teams are going to stay up, they're going to have to start winning fairly soon.
Yeah, it's a struggle for the promoted team so far. It's really been a struggle for them. I mean, Rayo got pasted on Saturday afternoon by Alaves, who, to be fair, Alaves has been pretty good to start the season. They're third in the table right now.
I mean, I think the really good thing about La Liga is, you know, you ignore 16 through 20. I mean, the other 15 are quality teams.
They really are.
So, you know, if you have a few bad teams, that'll happen. So it'll be a real rat race down that way.
Yeah, I'm not sure any of these teams have enough to stay out. I think one of them will. I think it might be Valladolid, but it's hard to say.
This
is a tough, crop, and it's a strong league this year.
It's a really strong league, and they're, you know, like I say, probably five bad teams, so there's two spots for you. Get them, guys.
Valencia are in 15th right now.
Right, exactly, and they're not going to be there for long, you don't imagine, and then you look at the teams above them and you think, well, they're probably going to keep moving up the table, so there could be some separation between that part of the table and the very bottom.
Yeah, it's a very strong league this year. We shouldn't read too much into this, but Atletico have a really promising chance, a really valuable opportunity here on Tuesday with the Madrid derby coming up on Saturday. This is a really good opportunity to rotate and get minutes for Kalinic, get minutes for Gelson, just to see what we have here. Because we've seen some of Gelson, we've seen individually what he can do. Kalinic played about 30 minutes in the loss to Celta, which that game is just a throwaway. You can't really take much from that game, considering where the squad was, you know, 3 weeks ago. We saw Arias for 20 minutes at Celta. You know, we haven't seen Adan at all. This is a chance to get two or three of those guys into the lineup. And at home against, theoretically, you know, an easier opponent, see what they're capable of. And give the key guys some rest. Like, Saul should not play in this game. He shouldn't play 90 minutes at least. Koke should be pulled. You know, Costa should start from the bench.
I mean, these are the games that you have to rotate, I think. I mean, like we said all along, no disrespect to Huesca, but this is one of those. You're at home against a newly promoted side that don't look very good. You can probably get away with it.
Scoreline prediction.
2-0.
I'm going to go 2-0.
Yeah, I think they'll get a couple. I think Huesca just aren't good enough.
All right.
I also don't think Diego Simeone will rotate much, so should be a good team.
Couple more things before we sign off here. On Saturday, Rob, Dalian Yifeng beat Shanghai Shenhua 2-1.
Oh, goodness, I need to pull up my Chinese Super League schedule.
Oh, don't you worry. I'm on Who Scored right now.
Oh, good. All right. Yes, they certainly did. And, our two dear friends did indeed play.
Yes, Nico Gaetan and Yannick Carrasco both started. Gaetan was booked. Carrasco did not score or assist a goal in this match.
Clearly things are working out for them a little bit better than before, huh?
Yes.
Bert Schuster doing the damn thing.
They're up to 10th.
Yeah.
They're five unbeaten.
Looking pretty hairy at the beginning of the season.
Five in a row unbeaten with four wins in that stretch. Pretty impressive.
They're coming up.
Still have an ugly minus 14 goal difference.
Well, they were pretty bad for a long stretch of the season.
Beijing Renhe, that's Augusto's team. That was an enthralling 2-2 draw. Two second half goals from Luis Garcia's Beijing Renhe. And they did the thing. They got the point. Augusto played all 90 minutes.
He did indeed play. I'm sure he was running around that midfield blowing people up. I got a little bit excited because I saw that the team they were playing, Tianjin Teda. I thought it was Jonathan, the Getafe, is it Getafe?
Elche.
No, Elche, yeah, the Elche legend. Banged goals that season. They got relegated.
2014-15, Jonatas was great that year. Atletico were linked with him for a little while, actually.
It was amazing that year.
Really good that year.
They just totally fell off.
He was unbelievable that year. Those are all the Chinese players, right?
I think so. It's confusing. yeah, no, that's it. Yeah, I think that's all. We have a former Chinese player to talk about.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, Jackson Martinez, Rob.
Yeah, oh, yes.
He is back in more ways than one.
Not only is he playing some football again, he's moving into Carrie Underwood's lane.
Before we get into that, he is now at Portimonense, I think is how you say that. They are, I think they're last place in the Portuguese league, but he's back in the Portuguese league. He's on loan from Guangzhou Evergrande.
Yeah, I mean, be fair, he did bang some goals in Portugal.
Yeah, that's why Atletico bought him, because he scored 60-something goals in 3 years there.
He has not done that in China. He's not played many games, has he, in China?
Let's take a look.
It's a large amount.
He played a large amount, 10 games in China.
Yeah, great stuff. Great stuff. 42 mil, they paid.
Yeah. It's just incredible. It still is remarkable how Atletico got a profit on him.
That was so fortunate. They got out of jail.
Shout out George Mendes.
Yeah, yeah, we needed that. That was not going to go well if he stayed any longer.
But Rob, as you intimated, Jackson is venturing into life in the musical world. See, when you spend 2 years recovering from an ankle injury, you have a lot of downtime. So Jackson, he's put out an album.
Yes.
No Temere.
Yes, and it's like a, best as I can tell, like a religious Latin rap album.
Mm.
Is how I would describe it.
I would like to play some on the show, but I'm not all that well versed in copyright law. I don't want to run afoul of anybody.
You can Google it for yourself.
Or I will include links in the show description.
Yes, that too. He is indeed doing music now. He's got a very kind of nice, like, island-looking cover. It's his silhouette with some nice colors on it.
Very calming, very paradise-esque.
Yeah. It looks nice. And, you know, I mean, it's all right. I've looked up his music videos. They're basically just lyric videos.
That's all right. You know, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, I gotta know what the man's saying. But, check that out. You gotta have another career. He hasn't been putting the goals away recently, so...
you know what?
Diversify.
Shout out Jackson. You know, man, I know that when he played for Atletico, he was awful. When he played for Atletico, a lot of people hated watching him. But life leads you into weird places sometimes that you didn't think you would be. So, you know, shout out to him. Just... I hope he finds happiness, honestly, because his time in Atletico basically ruined his career. And
he had some really bad injuries in China as well.
Yeah, it wasn't just one thing. It was a number of things that just made that move such a bad idea. I remember being really excited about that transfer, because just watching him in Portugal, he was a monster. He was a monster at Porto. But he hasn't been the same since. So you hope he finds happiness, and you hope that he... wherever he finds it, you hope he finds it. And if it's making music, then hey, it's making music.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he came in a kind of a strange time for Atletico. Obviously, it didn't work out with him, but there were plenty of players in that time that didn't work out at Atletico. You can't say it's purely just him.
No, it was...
You know, Mario Mandzukic didn't work out, and he's a great player. So it doesn't matter how good you are, it just sometimes doesn't work out.
Yeah, I miss Mons. I mean, Jackson was the primo signing in that transfer window, 15-16. He was the guy that year.
Yeah, and it was a lot of money for Atletico. I mean, obviously they got it back, thankfully.
He was their second most expensive signing in history.
Which is amazing.
You know what? Actually, let's take a look at the 15-16 window before we sign off.
Yeah, I was just looking that up myself. I was interested. They kind of meld together, that one and the one before.
Yeah, well, 14-15, you know, Atletico got Oblak and Griezmann out of that.
Right, exactly. That was the really good one. So, the one after...
You know, you got two world-class players out of that window. That makes it a good window, even though no one else really survived it. 15-16, Jackson, 37 million. Savage, 25 million. Which, okay, Savage is still here, but... Yannick Carrasco, 25 million. Luciano Vietto, 20 million. Felipe Luis, returning from loan, 16 million.
Yeah, returning a loan fee.
Matias Krenovitzer, that's right. That was winter of 2015. Matias Krenovitzer, 8 million. Bernard Mensah, 6 million. Eternal loanee, Bernard Mensah.
And Augusto came in that window as well in the winter.
He came in January because of Thiago's injury. Rafael Santos Borre from Colombia, he was a hot shot prospect. Yeah, that window really was not successful. Wow.
Well, the outs in that window were interesting as well. That was obviously when Miranda left and Raul Garcia as well.
That was your Rulo left, Arda gone. Raul Jimenez gone. Mario Mandzukic gone. Toby Alderweireld's transfer was made permanent. Mario Suarez.
Yeah, because he had been on loan. So yeah,
he went to Southampton on loan. Mario Suarez, his deal was made. He was in part exchange for Stefan Savage. Say what you will about Savage, that was still a great deal for Atletico.
It did work out. Mario, it was an extremely cheap deal, and Mario Suarez, I mean, as much as people liked him, was never really going to make it.
No, Mario lasted, I think, 6 months at Fiorentina. And now he's in China.
Yeah, he was the other one.
Yes, he was. Rulo was gone. Miranda went to Inter. Shout out Miranda. Still love him.
Yeah, of course. Miranda's great.
Saboya went to back to Independiente. Guillermo Siqueira. Yeah, this was a very fun window. My goodness.
And of course, Oliver. Dear Oliver came back.
Yes.
That was his the last hurrah.
And then he left again.
I always kind of liked Oliver Torres a bit. Still only 23, which is kind of incredible.
And I don't think he's playing that much for Porto this year either.
I don't think he is, no. Mm. It's unfortunate. He seemed like, he broke through at Atletico at such a young age. It seemed like he was going to be a solid player, but it never really worked out for him.
It's funny to look back on this window 3 years later and remember how optimistic you were, and then you realize that, it really wasn't that good.
Wow. It's true. They did get to the Champions League final that season, though.
They did.
That did happen.
after all this money spent and all these not so great players, they still made a Champions League final that year.
They certainly did. Less said about that final, the better.
And on that note, let's wrap this thing up.
Yes.
Rob, thank you so much for joining me.
Always a pleasure.
We have a busy week ahead of us. Not only do Atletico play Huesca on Tuesday, but there's a little matter of the Madrid derby at the Santiago Bernabeu on Saturday. You better believe we're going to have a bunch of coverage of that, both on the site and on the Patreon page, patreon.com/ColtSchnarrowChat. From as little as $3 a month, you can get access to all the bonus pods. The rumor roundup will be back at some point in the near future when there are actual rumors to discuss, but we haven't forgotten about it.
Yeah, no rumors right now. It's not rumor season.
It'll be back at some point in the near future. But over the next few days, you can expect a lot of quality hashtag content coming your way. We'll be back next week to preview the Madrid derby, review the game against Huesca, and more. Until then, adios.